Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When a person is said to be idle, it simply means he is doing nothing with his life. And so when we came up with the topic, idle mind, that means his mind is not dwelling or thinking of anything. When the mind is idle, it is the devil's workshop. How could it ever be? The world is our home. It was created for mankind by God as very good. That's how God concluded at the end of creation this beautiful world that he has given to man to have dominion over. The problem is not that the world that we are living in, the mountains, the hills, the environment, everything was good. But it is the people that is the problem. Because of sin, this world that is supposed to be good for us is now going to be used by God to control us. And so we look at last week, the passage where God said, when he cursed man, he cursed the ground because God knew that man depends upon this ground that he came out of for life. And so he knows that man needs the food and the water that continues to come out of the ground in order to keep his body alive. Without food and without water, this body will slowly grow weaker and weaker and will soon die. And so God will put now into the ground thorns and thistles so that when man spends his time working hard, his mind will be thinking on how to farm, how to work hard, so that he will have no idle time. Idle time to do nothing, to think about nothing. Because when his mind is not focused on what is good for him, like working hard in the field, how large a piece of ground should I now plant? And if I work hard from now till the end of this month, what would I get out of the crops that I'm going to harvest if I work hard? And so if you plan, you will have no time to think of other things. And so if the mind is occupied by wholesome hard work, it will be good for man. Because now man is no longer the man before the fall. Now man is a sinner. And therefore, idle time in the hands of a sinful person will result in very, very dangerous consequences. And so what we see from verse 1 to verse 4 of Genesis 6 would be the fruits of idleness. That's what happens. The evidence of the danger of an idle mind with an idle hand and idle mouth. What would you find? And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. According to the writing and commentary of Dr. John Wickham when he taught us in Grace Seminary, he said that perhaps after a period of more than 1,600 years, to be exact, 1656 years, from the time of the fall right up to the time of this conversation that God will soon have with Noah. You sum up the names of the people described for us in Genesis chapter 5. You're going to get about 1,656 years. And so the people live 800-900 years. And doing a little bit of simple calculation, these people do not just live on this earth and be great-grandfathers. These people will live on this earth and become great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers. And if you were to count Adam, the Bible said he died at the age of 930 from the day he was created by God. Do you know that Adam lived long enough to see the birth right up to the time just before Noah was born? So Adam was alive to see Enoch. He was alive. If you just do some calculation, where many of these names that we read in Genesis 5, they would have met Adam. And Adam would have told them what happened before the fall and what happened after the fall. And when you live this long, not only for the righteous people, because I believe this list in Genesis 5 describe believers, because it was the generation of Seth that God had raised up to replace Abel, because Cain killed Abel, and God had to replace the messianic line that God had promised Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Seth was the chosen seed that will continue on the messianic line that Cain cut off when he killed Abel. And this would be the line of the Messiah that you read here right up to the time of Noah. And Noah will have three sons at the end of the flood, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem was the chosen one that will continue the line of the Messiah right up to Genesis chapter 11. We are told there will be a man called Terah who will have three sons, and out of these three sons, Abram was chosen, who in turn will have two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the chosen one, not Ishmael. And then from Isaac, he will have two sons, Esau and Jacob, not Esau, but Jacob. And then from Jacob, the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob. And so this list that is mentioned in Genesis 5 would be the list, I believe, of the believers. Because the last man to live before the flood begins would be Methuselah, the longest living man recorded in Holy Scriptures. 969 years he lived on this earth. And so Dr. Wickham calculated, based upon the longevity of the people, where living 800-900 years was the norm, there could easily be about 1 billion people at this juncture when God said these words to describe the generation of Noah. And it came to pass when men began to multiply. That means maybe about 1 billion. Of course, it is only a guess on his part, based upon the longevity of the people and based upon their ability to keep on having children. If you live 800-900 years. Okay? And so the Bible said the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, the sons of God here, I believe, would be the fallen angels. If you were to do a phrase study, the sons of God is used to describe the angelic beings in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. And so I believe these were the fallen angels that would be the demons. They will possess men. And these men who are possessed by these fallen angels will marry the daughters of men, and then they will have children. Okay, and then the Bible will describe what kind of children they're going to have. If you have parents or fathers who are possessed, what do you think would be the manner in which they will bring up their children? We're not talking about a handful. We're talking about millions of them, who will become like devils, like their fathers. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. That means I'm going to execute judgment. I cannot continue to allow man to remain in this state of sin and evil and wickedness, and then continue to just simply show them that what they are doing is wrong. It will not continue in this manner. And so God gave man a time limit. For that he also is flesh. He must know that even though he lived 800-900 years, he is flesh. That means he will die. And so the Bible says, God will give man from that point onwards, right up to the beginning of the flood, 120 years. That's the time limit that God will give to man, where God will have to begin afresh a new world in order to save the messianic line from destruction. Because when you look at this period of time, how many were believers in Noah's time? How many entered into the ark? Only 8. Out of 1 billion people, only 8 individuals entered into the ark because they believed. The rest did not believe. That was the sad state of affairs in the time of Noah. How could the world decay so rapidly? You see, when a man who is a sinner, now he is in total depravity, and he lived 800-900 years, you and I can't imagine the amount of transgression that a man who lived 800-900 years could do on this earth. And when these people are given power and to live 800-900 years, you and I could only imagine men like Hitler, if he was allowed to live 800-900 years. Imagine the damage that he could do to this earth. He lived, what, 40-50 years? And he started the Second World War. If these people were to be allowed to live 800-900 years with this kind of modern technology, and if they wielded power that can entrench them in positions of leadership, surrounded by a military that can keep them in leadership for 800 years of their lives, and with that kind of power, just imagine the kind of horrible, horrible things they could do to their own people who live in that nation. You just take North Korea as an example. If the founder of North Korea could live 800-900 years, he is survived by his son and now his grandson, who is now creating a lot of ripples throughout the whole world by what he is trying to do with his missiles and his atomic weaponry. That's what happened in those days. Remember, these people, they were not a cavemen. Right from the very beginning after the fall, when you look at Genesis 3, the Bible said that the descendants of Cain, the children of Lamech, who was one of the descendants of Cain, they were master builders, they were master musicians. They were not ape men. They were not half ape, half men. They were brilliant. Remember, these people just experienced the fall. Remember, Adam before the fall had 100% ability to use his brain without tainted by sin. He could name all the animals and the birds that were brought to him in less than 24 hours, and he will accurately describe them and name them without a mistake. And so these people, after the fall, they may now have a depraved nature, but it doesn't mean that suddenly their IQ would drop to near zero. They were still brilliant men, and that's why the Bible said they were men who could build cities. They were men who could play the harp and the organ. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. You look at verse 20. Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Look at verse 22. And Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So they were brilliant. They could build tents, they could build cities, they could play musical instruments, and they were good workers, laborers of iron and brass. Imagine these people live 800-900 years. The kind of skill they developed, the kind of ability that they would have in master practically every trade that you could think of, with so many years of repeated experience, that was the generation of Noah. Now, if they were kept busy doing a lot of things, their mind will be occupied with wholesome tasks. But what happens at night? What happens when they stop working? And they live 800-900 years. And now they are filled with a lot of time and with a mind that is depraved. God said, enough. And then you have the fallen angels that God has cast down onto this earth together with Lucifer, or now called Satan. They now lived amongst men. We know that they were cast out of heaven because the Bible tells us that in later revelations. And now they will live amongst men. And so you and I have people who are demon-possessed, and then they got married, and now they're going to produce children. And the Bible said there were giants in the earth in those days. Now, these were not just huge giants. This word could mean people who are tyrants, people who are bullies, giants in the sense that they're going to push you around, they're going to control you. If you do not do what I want, I'm going to beat you senseless until you comply. That's what it means. bullies and tyrants in the earth in those days and also after that. And so this kind of behavior and conduct continues from one generation to the next. And it continues. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, powerful men with power which were of old men of renown. Men with name. That's the meaning of renown. Famous. Famous in what? Not famous in doing good, because there were only 8 righteous when the destruction of this earth by water began. And so they were famous, or rather infamous, for the kind of bullying and the kind of tyrannical rule that dominated the face of the earth in the time of Noah. Idle mind, allowed to live 800-900 years. The kind of fruits of idleness is frightening. A world of 1 billion, if not millions and millions of people, 8 of them were found believers. The rest, none. You can't imagine a world like this. Even when Israel was at its worst, when Ahab and Jezebel ruled Israel, covering Israel with idolatry, hundreds of Baal prophets assisted Ahab and Jezebel in their rule. And yet in that time period, Elijah thought he was the only believer in the land of Israel. And God had to reveal to him, to encourage him, there were 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. But here we have only 8 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. The rest of the world, millions and millions of people, they have already bowed their knees to Baal. The fruits of idleness. In other words, when you give to sinful men a lot of free time, and the mind is now corrupt and evil, he will think and ponder and invent more and more evil. And that's exactly God's conclusion in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When the thought from morning to maybe evening time fully focused on laboring and hard work, no time to think evil. But the moment they stop, the moment that they finish work, they now have a lot of time on their hands. And remember, the environment was still very good. They did not have the 4 seasons, winter, autumn, summer, spring, like what we see today in our world. These 4 seasons came about after the flood. And so with a very wonderful and conducive environment where Adam and Eve at first were naked and they were not ashamed. So it was an environment that was very comfortable. Imagine that, a very comfortable environment, a lot of free time, but with a totally depraved nature, and therefore the mind, the Bible said, they thought on how to do more and more evil. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, day in and day out, how to plan, how to plot, to cheat, to kill, to rape, to murder. And they did this repeatedly for as long as they lived on this earth, 800-900 years. So if you start how to steal, when you started, you were an amateur. After 10 years, you become very good. After 20 years, you become more than very good. But after you've been practicing this for 300 years, you're not only more than very good, you are now superb. You are now at the top of your craft. And you add to that another 300 years. You just imagine, we can't even think about that kind of skill that is so evil. And you include murder on top of raping, killing, bullying, and these people, the Bible says, they have power that you and I can't even imagine. That's why the idle mind in devil's workshop, when they have nothing to do with the depraved nature, they could only plot and plan and think how to do more and more evil. And you look at our world. Our world is very similar to this world, even though we live only 70, 80, 90, 100, 300 years and 10. God reduced our lifespan by 10 times, tenfold. But we are not able to ruin this earth 10 times slower. We should have. They took 1,600 years to ruin the world that God gave to them since the fall. And God had to clean up this world with water so that when Noah came out of the ark, it was a brand new world that Noah saw as he opened the doors of the ark and looked around him. A world that he had never seen before. The old world was gone forever. And from that point onwards till today, maybe 4,000 years, God reduced man's lifespan 10 times. We should take, what, 1,006 times 10? 16,000 years before we could mess up the world where it will be like Noah. But we know that is not going to happen. You look at our world. It is very much like the world of Noah's time, even though we live only 70 years and 10. Do you know why? Because of the invention of technology, because of mechanization. Men now work fewer and fewer hours, and they can get the results 3, 4, 5 times more by working less. And so what happens? Now we have a lot of idle time. And idle time with an idle mind that is in this depraved body, again, like in the days of Noah, we invent and continue to think of how to sin more. And so people will go clubbing. People will do all kinds of terrible things. They smoke, they drink, they gamble, they go to casinos. Now that they have money, they have free time. They have time on their hands. And now you don't even have to go out, go to casinos. You can gamble using your computer at home. You can do a lot of things, and you may call it waste time. This is our world, very similar to Noah's world. God wants us to live on this earth, because this is where God has created us and put us here. But when men mess up this world, God has to do something to help man. And so God first gave to man thorns and thistles to give him more time on this earth. But man would circumvent and continue to do more and more evil. And God said, enough. I will have to stop man from messing up my world, because their mind and their heart continues to design and invent more and more evil nonstop, continually. This is our world. And God says, I am so sorry, verse 6, that I have made man on this earth, and it grieved him in his heart. God made us in his image, the image of God. No other creature was made in God's image. And then when man sinned against God, God said the image of man or image of God in man remains. It is not destroyed. It is marred very badly. We know this because in Genesis 9, when God said that man cannot kill another man because man is still made in the image of God. And that's why capital punishment was the outcome. And so therefore, the image of God in man is still there, even though it is badly marred by sin, by the evil that continues to occupy our mind. And that is why when you look at the world around us, man is still trying to have a lot of free time. And so in some countries, they don't even work a full 7-day week. They now try to encourage people to work 3 days, 4 days. And then they allow man to now work from home to make life more easy for man. And so that man will have more time on their hands, hoping that man will spend their free time wisely. But you and I know that when you give free time to a man that is totally depraved, read Genesis 6. God's comment is, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Bible tells us in later Revelation that the heart of man is deceitful. Who can know it? Only God. Our heart is basically deceitful. Sometimes we even deceive ourselves into thinking that we are well in our soul, in our heart, when in reality, we are not well in our soul. We are bound for it. That's how terrible our heart is. And that is why, as unbelievers, you and I must be very careful about our idle mind. Satan will take advantage of it, and he will use it because you are in depravity, and it will become a tool that he will happily use to further his ends. And his end is to make you die in your sin so that he will find you joining him in the lake of fire. That's what he wants. He wants you to die in your sin. When you sin more and more, you don't even consider sin as sin anymore. That's what he wants to do. You look at people who gamble, they don't think it's a sin. You look at people who smoke and drink, they don't think that it is a sin, because even though it devastates their life, they don't think that it is a sin. And as long as you don't see it as an evil, as a sin, you continue to indulge in it. And so the world will try to do all kinds of things to discourage you. And so when you buy a packet of cigarette, they deliberately put in color those vivid pictures of all those terrible diseases that could happen to a person who smokes. And when you stand there, queuing up to pay for your petrol, I can't help but stand in front. There was this person was buying cigarette, and the person asked for it. Whether man or woman, does not matter. And when I look at the packet, the picture of that person who had smoked, they show a color picture of the kind of lungs and throat and face that he had. It was so horrible and disgusting. But the person will just buy it, look at it, no big deal. He doesn't see that this could be me. What happened? Look at gambling, casino. Our country wants the economy to boom and blossom. And they think that with a casino here, it will succeed. But they also know the social ills that come with casino. And so for Singaporeans, they try to discourage us. They cannot stop us. And so we have to go there. We have to pay some kind of a levy every day. $100, I think. And then there are some who will give you, what, one whole year license. So you pay a certain amount, what, $2,000, $3,000? That will cover the entire year where you can go in as many times as you like. Something like that. To discourage us. And yet, many Singaporeans just go there. Well, I have the money, I can control. You don't even know that it's a sin anymore. You look at those who try to argue for an alternate lifestyle in homosexuality. They don't even know that it's a sin. They don't care. Why? Because it is a reflection of the kind of depravity that is in man. And when you give man free time, idle time where they do nothing, the mind will invent evil. It's not going to think good things. It's not going to think how to do more holy things. They're going to think of how to do more evil. And it is now evidence. It is before our very eyes. And you can't deny that. You can't deny that. And so God tells us his view concerning the state of man that he had created. He repented. In other words, he feels so hurt and grief in his soul that man whom he had made in his image had reduced himself to worse than animals. That all they could think of is how to do more evil. You are made in God's image, who is holy and righteous and pure and good. Why are these people whom I have made in my image desiring and determining to do more and more evil continually when they should be doing good? What is wrong with them? They are in sin. And as long as you and I do not recognize this in us, in man, you're not going to do anything about it. And sadly, God said, enough. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. Now, fish is excluded because fish will be allowed to live and survive during the flood. Everything that does not live in water will die, okay, including the birds, because no matter how high they fly, they can't fly for one whole year, because the flood will cover this for more than 360 days. Now, in those days, they counted the number of days per year as 360, okay? Our solar calendar is 365. They counted it by lunar calendar, and that is 360. Every month in the Bible, they see it as 30 days a month. So times 12, 360. Ours, we have 31 days for certain months and 30 days for certain months because we use the solar calendar, they use the lunar. And it will be more than a year. And no bird is able to fly in the sky for more than a year. You will have to land and you're going to drown in the ocean, in the waters. And so God says, every creeping thing, every man, every beast, they're going to die of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. And so God has to intervene and stop. Why did God have to do that? Because God has to protect the messianic line. Because God has to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ will come to save mankind. God now sees the state of man. And if God does not intervene, man cannot save himself. Man continue to do more and more evil continually, nonstop. And God has to help man to get man out of this terrible state of condemnation. And so God injected this amazing verse in the midst of this very, very dark and morbid description of our world in Noah's time. And God said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of a world that was covered and soaked in sin and wickedness. There was this glimmer of light. Out of the millions and millions, if not like what Wickham says, 1 billion people, there was one tiny little light in this particular home, in this family, shining. In a world of complete, total spiritual darkness, there was this tiny little light that emanates from this little house. Noah was the head of this family. And the Bible said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know from subsequent verses that Noah and his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife, they were all believers. And so this was the only spiritual light that was shining in a world that continued to be covered in total spiritual darkness. And God said, I have to intervene. Otherwise, this total darkness will soon cover even the family of Noah enough. And so God had to intervene by the great flood. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and a Savior who died on the cross for your sin, please understand that this is a description of you. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is a very accurate description of a sinner who is in sin. Just because the flood came, just because God reduced our lifespan tenfold, it doesn't mean that the depravity that is in man has changed one bit. Total depravity is total depravity, whether it was in Noah's time or in our time. You know that. You see this in our world around us. When man is busy, occupied with good, healthy work, they are fine. But the moment they have idle time with an idle mind, backed up by a depraved nature, wickedness continues to abound. And you can see this in the nightlife in Orchard Road. In the cover of darkness, they thought nobody knows. This is our world. They can see it all over the world. It's the same. And this time God says, I'm going to destroy this world by fire. This time no more by the flood, but by fire. And when I destroy this world by fire, man will no longer be allowed to rule on this world ever again, the way that man did. Because at the end of this destruction, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and he will rule for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, which the Bible called millennium, this old world will be destroyed for good. And God will give to his children a new heaven and a new earth that has never been tainted by sin. When God destroyed this world by water, after the flood, God recreated this world. It's like an alteration. It is still the same world, touched by sin, stained by sin, but God gave it a good wash. And then at the end of the flood, God changed the entire topography of this world. Push up mountains, high mountains that were not in existence then because there were no snow. But now with the mountains pushed up thousands of meters above sea level, right up there, you're going to have cold air, which they never needed, they never had before. And so it was a world that Noah never saw before. It's our world. And this our world will soon be destroyed by fire because the depravity of man remains, the idle mind continues to be devil's workshop. And you see Hollywood doing the devil's work. You see Bollywood. You see the mass media. You see the internet. You see everywhere doing the work of the devil, because man continues to have a lot of idle time and with an idle mind and a depraved nature. The only way out is in Christ. The only way out is to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He came and He suffered, and God accepted what He has done for you by raising Him from the dead for your justification. If you do not put your faith and believe that Jesus Christ died for you, you're going to die for your own sin, and you're going to end up in hell for eternity. And that is not what God wants for you. God wants to save you out of your depravity, and the only way to save you out of your depravity is through Jesus Christ. Someone has to pay the price for the punishment that you and I deserve, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to be the Son of Man in order to bear your sins and my sins on His body, and He endured the pain and the punishment for your sake and for my sake. And God accepted what He has done for us by raising Him from the dead for our justification. So that now, as believers, our time is always occupied. We go out into the world as believers, witnessing for Christ. We finish work. We go back home. We now continue to witness for Christ at home. And when we come to church, we continue to witness for Christ. We do not have idle time where we do nothing, because now all our time is occupied by how to become more and more holy and serve the Lord with joy and with gladness. We do not allow idle mind for Satan to take advantage of and to cause believers to do sinful things. And that's why for us as believers, you now have a new nature in Christ. You now have the Holy Spirit indwelling you to help you, to guide you, so that your mind should not be filled with idleness doing nothing. But our mind should be now filled with the desires of God and the work of God, and how we can become more and more like Christ by living a life that is fruitful, that is beneficial, not walking around killing time. We should not be walking around killing time because we do not know what to do with our time. We are now children of God, and every minute is precious. Why do you think the Bible tells us to redeem the time? For the days are evil. What does it mean by redeeming the time? Redeeming the time doesn't mean that you can go back in time and start living again as a believer. What time we have wasted from the day we were born again to today cannot come back to us. But redeeming the time means whatever time you have left on this earth, don't waste 1 minute more anymore, please. You have wasted enough the past life. Redeeming the time means now spend the rest of your time wisely and fruitfully. Don't have a mind that thinks of nothing. Why do you think the Bible tells us never empty your mind? Always fill your mind with things that are good, true, and holy. That's what the Bible tells us. So that you and I will not allow Satan to have room to interject and to cause us to think evil. We continue to think on how to do more and more of God's work, how to become a better believer. Look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. We all know Philippians 4, 6, and 7 very well. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Go one verse further, verse 8, and that is to teach us how to think. Don't let your mind think of nothing. Satan will take advantage of it, even for believers. Always think about all these godly things. And how to think of godly things? Memorization of God's word helps a whole lot. Because our mind can only think of one thing at a time. If your mind is reciting God's word, your mind will not think of evil, because it is now reciting God's word. And so when your mind begins to wonder and about to think of evil things on what to do, sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts, straight away you repent and stop it, and then you begin to recite scriptures meditatively, pondering over the words and the verses that you are reciting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Ponder over this. When your mind is reciting scriptures, there is no room for idle mind, where Satan will take advantage Because we are children of God. We have a new mind in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So don't let it be idle. And that's what the memorization of God's word exercise is supposed to do to help us. So you ponder, who is a blessed man? Oh, he will not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Because the moment you listen to the counsel of the ungodly, you're going to live your life according to the ungodly. And then the next step you're going to do is to stand where there are a lot of sinners. But if you study God's word, you will not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, and you will avoid places where a lot of sinners are found. You will not want to be identified with them. You stay far away from them, because if you don't, the next step is you're going to sit with scorners, and you're going to become like them and making decisions to scorn and make fun and mock God. And all begins with the first step. You begin to listen to the counsel of the ungodly, and where is the counsel of the ungodly found? Out in the world. The books written by men is found on the internet. It's found out there in the world. Find the counsel of the godly in God's word and meditate upon it so that your mind will be occupied with godly thoughts, virtuous, Christ-honoring thoughts, so that Satan will have no room to fill your mind and your heart, because you are Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. You belong to God, for he has redeemed you with his precious blood. Be careful of the idle mind. It is indeed the devil's workshop. As you can see, the fruits of idleness, sin upon sin upon sin. And the source of idleness is the depraved heart. And the cure for idleness, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the darkest period of man's world in Noah's time, Noah found grace. That is salvation in Jesus Christ. So can we today. We are living in the last days. Our world is not going to last for too long. The world is now ripe and ready for destruction. And once the sin is full, and once the last Gentile is saved, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. If you are not a believer, this is a description of you. You can get out of it by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save you from sin and from an idle mind, where Satan continues to use you for his evil deeds. Stop. Don't let him. Your life is precious, for you are still made in the image of God. Will you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for Jesus' sake and for your own soul's sake? And if you are a believer, occupy your time wisely and fruitfully. Memorize scriptures. Don't let your mind be idle. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and speak to our hearts, and cause us, O Lord, to look deep into our own soul. For we have read of man's past, a very dark past in man's history, where out of millions and millions of people in Noah's time, there were only 8 believers who found grace in thy sight. Help us today, O Lord, living in the same time frame and period as Noah, where the world is covered in spiritual darkness and sin. We pray, Father, that you will reach forth from heaven's glory and touch the hearts of someone who is outside Christ, and bring conviction to this soul, that this soul may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver him from his sin, from his depravity, and from his idle mind. For he had been a tool of the evil one. We pray, Father, that you would deliver such a one out of this sin and darkness for Jesus' sake, and save him unto thyself, and bring conviction to his heart in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, for all of us who are your children. Help us, O Lord, to memorize scriptures with understanding and with a heart of obedience, so that we will not think on anything evil, so that there will be no idle mind in the lives and the minds of all your people, for it can still become the devil's workshop. May we fill our minds with godly thoughts, things that are good, things that are righteous and holy, so that we can continue to become more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.